بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله my respected brothers and elders respected elders we started going through the lives of the pious predecessors from this book the مجمع الأحباب وتذكرة أولي الألباب. And we went through the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in detail, and then through the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and now we're going through the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Today, inshallah, I hope to finalize and conclude the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. As we do, I will go read through the book. Like I said before, this sitting is mainly for my own benefit, that the lives of the pious predecessors come in front of me, come in front of all of us, that who these people really were. So when we think of Islam and we think of Muslims and we think of the pious Muslims, who were the true pious Muslims? Who are those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was happy with? And especially the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whom Allah ta'ala has given the glad tidings, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Allah is happy with them and they are happy with Allah. So it's very important that we know as much as we can about the lives of each of these people, inshallah. So last week or the week before the Eid, we were discussing how Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa of the Muslims. And we mentioned then how this is a very controversial topic because of this, at this particular time, one of the sects were created. Those people who later went on to swear at Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and who went on to even accuse Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu of certain crimes. And we clarified how the belief of the Muslims is that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the best of all of the Muslims after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after him is the Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and thereafter Sayyidina Uthman and Ali. Now some scholars in the past have regarded Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to be more superior to Sayyidina Uthman, and some have regarded Sayyidina Uthman to be more superior to Sayyidina Ali. This is not a problem, whoever thinks this. But we regard Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to be more superior to the rest of the Sahaba. And after them is the rank of Sayyidina Uthman and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So today, inshallah, we'll mention a few virtues about Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that the night before Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated. We mentioned last week or previously how Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated, and he was in his late 80s. Some ulama have mentioned he was 90 years old, and he was holding the Quran in his hand, and people came and they stabbed him and they murdered him whilst he was holding the Quran, and his blood spilt all over the Quran. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu mentioned on the night that he was assassinated, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that he said, "Last night I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream. وأبا بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما." And I saw in the dream Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar. Sayyidina Uthman is saying this. فقالوا اصبر. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما said to me that have patience. فإنك تفطر عندنا القابلة. Because tomorrow you will be breaking your meal with us. Tomorrow you will be eating your meal with us. ثُمَّ دَعَى بِمُصْحَفٍ. Thereafter he called for a Qur'an to be brought to him, a mushaf, a Qur'an to be brought to him. فَفَتَحَهُ. And he opened it. فَقُتِلَ وَهُوَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. And he was killed whilst the Qur'an was in front of him. He was assassinated, he was martyred whilst the Qur'an was in his hands. وَأَعْتَقَ 20 مَمْلُوكًا وَهُوَ مَحْصُورٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَرْضَاهُ. And whilst he was in this stage of captivity, he freed 20 slaves as well. And then he passed away. I don't want to mention the whole story because I'm seeing a lot of new faces today as well. And I mentioned in detail previously how Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was held hostage towards the end of his life, and then he was assassinated whilst he was held captive. But today we're going to mention some of the virtues of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Previously we mentioned about Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's generosity. How Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was one of the most generous of the Sahaba. And we know that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was one of those 10 Sahaba who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. And one of the main reasons why Uthman radiallahu anhu was given the glad tidings of Jannah was because of his sakhawat, because of his generosity. in the time of the occasion of the Battle of Tabuk, which is known as the battle of difficulty, because the Sahaba had very little wealth, very little possessions, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you could say, was fundraising. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood on the minbar and he said, you know, who will donate? He's encouraging the Sahaba to donate. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, stands up and he says, I give 100 camels fully loaded for the sake of Allah. 100 camels with all of its with all of the possessions and fully loaded basically for the sake of Allah. So then he sits down, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes back onto the minbar and he is encouraging the Sahaba to donate. Sayyidina Uthman stands up and he says, I give another 100 camels in the path of Allah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam carries on encouraging the Sahaba to donate. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu stands up and he says, I give another 100 camels for the sake of Allah, fully loaded. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَانُ مَا عَمِلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. After today, whatever Uthman does will not affect him. Uthman has earned his place in Jannah. And so many incidents we see, the Bir rumor, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated and the Sahaba migrated to Medina, there was only one main source of water, and that well belonged to a Jewish person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will purchase the well of rumor? In return for that, I guarantee them Jannah. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he'd always check with Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, if I buy it, will I be guaranteed Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, if you buy, you'll be guaranteed Jannah. He went and he purchased it straight away. When the masjid, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Masjid an-Nabawi, became very tight, the population of Medina was increasing, the Muslims were increasing. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will purchase this garden which is next to the masjid, this orchard, and we can expand, and in return for that, I will guarantee them Jannah. Sayyidina Uthman went and purchased that property. So many he acquired Jannah due to his generosity, many times. And we mentioned the hadith last week as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sakhawat, generosity is like a tree in Jannah which has its branches in the world." You remember the Arabic of the hadith? Is a tree in Jannah? I couldn't remember the Arabic last time. Yeah, it's a tree in Jannah which has its branches in the world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever takes hold onto any of the branches of generosity, it will eventually and make them, you know, go into Jannah." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went on to say that miserliness, stinginess, is a tree in Jahannam which has its branches in the world. Whoever is stingy, you know, in this dunya, and holds on to one of the branches of stinginess, it will eventually end up taking them into the fire of Jahannam. So it's very important, you and this jood, this sakhawat, spending for the sake of Allah. So today we mention another one of the qualities of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. The Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthmanu ahya ummati wa akramuha. Uthman is the most shyest, most modest of my ummah. He has the most greatest sense of haya inside of him. Haya. Haya is such an important quality. Haya is the thing which stops a person from falling into guna, falling into sin. That shame, the feeling of shame. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Idha lam tastahi faf'al ma shi'ta. When we were studying hadith, there's a famous rawi of hadith, Imam Al-Qa'nabi rahmatullahi alayhi. He comes in a lot of the chain of narration of the hadith. So I was reading a very interesting story of Imam Al-Qa'nabi rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Al-Qa'nabi, before he became a great scholar of hadith, he used to be a person who had many bad habits. One of them was he was always drunk. He was always drunk, and he was someone that people would stay far away from. Qa'nabi, this is before he became a big scholar of hadith. And one day he heard that the great hadith scholar Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri had come to his town. So he was drunk and he was wearing bright red clothes and he was just been partying the whole night and he was in a very detestable state. But he thought, this big hadith scholar has come, let's find out what he's got to say. So all of the people were crowded around Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, and this man Qa'nabi comes. And as soon as they see him, everybody moves away because nobody liked him. Nobody could stand him. And he was wearing red clothes. He was smelling of alcohol. He even had a knife in his hand. Story mentions. He had a knife in his hand. Allah knows why. And he came close to Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri and he said, tell me something from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me something from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri took one look at him. And then he said, I heard my ustad mentioning from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha lam tastahi faf'al ma shi'ta." If you have no haya, if you have no shame, then do as you please. And he said, this hadith hit him so hard, automatically tears started to come from his eyes. Because this state that he's in, no, in drunken state, wearing these clothes in front, and the people all know, and he doesn't care that the people don't like me. He doesn't care that what he's doing is wrong, because he's happy doing what he is doing. So when he realized this, then he changed his life around. So this haya is so important. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, out of the Sahaba, he was one of those who had the most haya. In another narration, Sayyidina, again from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَدُّ أُمَّتِي حَيَاءً Uthman ibn Affan. That the from my ummah, the person who has the most haya is Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. And Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, he mentions that وذكر عثمان بن عفان وشدة حيائه فقال إن كان ليكون في البيت والباب عليه مغلق فما يضع عنه الثوب ليفيض عليه الماء يمنعه الحياء أن يقيم صلبه. That even if Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was in his home and his door was locked, there was nobody else in his home, then he would still not take all of his clothes off out of haya to pour water on his body, to have a ghusl. Because even if nobody else is watching, Allah Ta'ala is watching. Allah's malaika, the angels, are always present. This is his level of haya. When he would do ghusl, he would sit down, he would crouch in a way that even his private parts are not exposed to himself, because Allah is always watching. Again, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentions that thalathatun min Quraishin asbahu Quraishin wujuhan wa ahsanuha akhlaqan wa athbatuha haya'an. That there were three men from the Quraysh who had the most brightest, most, let's say, the most brightest faces, most pleasant faces, most pleasant appearances. وَأَحْسَنُهَا أَخْلَاقًا. They had the best of akhlaq, best of character. Three men of the Quraysh. وَأَثْبَتُهَا حَيَاءً. And they had the most haya and modesty. إِنْ حَدَّثُوكَ لَمْ يَكْذِبُوكَ. If they spoke to you, they would never lie to you. They would never speak a word of a lie. وَإِنْ حَدَّثْتَهُمْ لَمْ يُكَذِّبُكَ. If you ever spoke to them, they would never accuse you of lying. If they spoke to you, they would never lie. And if you spoke to them, they would never say that you are lying. They would always regard you as truthful. And then he mentions, who are those three people? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, wa Uthman ibn Affan, wa Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, whose story and whose life will come later inshallah. Sayyidina Zubair ibn Abdullah, he mentions that Uthman radiallahu anhu, one of his qualities was yasumu dahra. He would always fast. He would always be in a state of fasting. وَيَقُومُ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا هُجْعَةً مِّنْ أَوَّلِهِ. And he would stand the whole night in salah in front of Allah, except for a small portion of the beginning of the night. For a small part of night he would sleep, and majority of the night he would stand in tahajjud in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person he mentions that while I was standing between al-Rukni wal-Maqam, so this is probably the Ruknul Yamani and the Hajr al-Aswad, no, and the Hatim, Maqam Ibrahim, sorry. Al-Rukn is the Rukn al-Yaman, and Al-Maqam is Maqam Ibrahim. إِذَا رَجُلٌ وَضَعَ يَدَهُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيَّ فَإِذَا هُوَ عُثْمَانَ بْنُ عَفَّانَ فَبَدَأَ بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ فَقَرَأَ حَتَّى خَتَمَ الْقُرْآنَ فَرَكَعَ وَسَجَدَ ثُمَّ أَخَذَ نَعْلَيْهِ فَلَا أَدْرِي أَصَلَّى قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا أَمْ لَا. A person, he mentions, I was standing in front of the Kaaba. And then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu puts his hand between my shoulders. He says, I felt a hand between my shoulders. And I look and it's Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he's in namaz. And whilst he's in namaz, he starts reading. And he reads Surah Al-Fatiha. And he carries on reading until he finishes the Qur'an, whilst he's in namaz behind me. And then he does ruku and sajda. So in one rakat, he finishes the whole Qur'an. And after he finishes his namaz, he takes his sandals. And then the person says, I don't know if before this he was reading, he could have been reading more before that. And this could have, he could have just been continuing. And this quality of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's reciting of Quran is very famous. That Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu could put one foot on one side of the horse, on one stirrup, and before he put his foot on the other stirrup, he could complete a khatam of the Quran. So people are astonished, how does this happen? But remember, this waqt, this time, is also a makhluq of Allah, is a creation of Allah. So if Allah Ta'ala wants to, as a miracle on behalf of someone, if Allah Ta'ala wants to make their time full of barakah and blessing, then they can do this. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's connection with the Quran. And you can see when Allah Ta'ala gave him shahadat and martyrdom, his shahadat is happening whilst he's holding the Quran. And one thing Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say, which I find quite very inspiring, he said that إِذَا طَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مَا شَبِعْتُمْ مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That if your hearts were pure and your hearts were clean, then you would never ever become satisfied with how much Quran you read. You'd want to continue reading, continue reading, continue reading. Sayyidina Uthman would say that. You'd see all the time. He was a hafiz of the Quran, but every day he would have to open the Quran and he'd have to sit there and he'd have to look and he'd have to recite. Every day he'd have to look into the Mus'haf and recite. Even though he's a hafiz of the Quran, he didn't need to. But this is just a connection. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentions just looking in the Quran and reading the letters is a reward. And he would say, you know, when we say our eyes, many times people look at green things. You know, just it's been good for your health. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentions the best thing that you can look at is the Quran. And this is the best which is for your eyesight. I'll just mention a few more things inshallah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullahi, he mentions that when the people came to assassinate Uthman radiallahu anhu, then the wife of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, whose name was Naila radiallahu anha, I'm not sure if she was a sahabiya or not. Naila radiallahu anha, she said to the people who came to attack him, حين أطافوا به يريدون قتله إن تتركوه أو تقتلوه فإنه كان يحيي الليل كله في ركعة يجمع فيها القرآن. Do you know who you people are about to kill? Do you know who you people are about to harm? This man, he finishes the Quran every night in one rakat. This man, Uthman radiallahu anhu, she's warning them that you're about to assassinate and murder a man who finishes the Quran every night in one rakat. Think about his maqam and his status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he mentions that I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when a person came and he knocked on the door. فَقَالَ إِفْتَحْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَىٰ بَلْوَى تُصِيبُهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, open the door and whoever comes in, give them the glad tidings of Jannah. But tell them that there will be some difficulties that befall them. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, I opened the door, فَإِذَا هُوَ عُثْمَان. And I saw that Uthman radiallahu anhu was standing there. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبِّ صَبْرًا. So I said to him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to give you the glad tidings of Jannah, but also to warn you that some difficulties will come upon you. So what was the response of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu? Allahul musta'an. Allah is my helper. Allah will help me. Allahumma rabbi sabra. Allah, my Lord, give me sabr. Give me patience. And towards the end of his life, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu would always say that inna nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahida ilayya ahdan fa ana sabirun alayhi. We mentioned this last time, that he would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a pledge from me. That, oh Uthman, remember we mentioned last time, you will be made to wear a garment. Allah ta'ala aapko ek qameez pehnayenge. Allah will make you wear a garment. Make sure you do not take that garment off for anybody. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to him a long time ago. And after Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu has made the Khalifa, he knew that this is what Rasulullah was referring to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people in his life give him pressure. Uthman, you know, you're too soft. You're too lenient. You know, you're not being harsh on these people, harsh on that people. Maybe Ali can do a better job than you radiallahu anhu. Maybe this other sahabi can do a better job. Why don't you give Khilafah to somebody else? He would say, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that I will be in this position. And he said, I should not, you know, even if death comes, I should hold on to this position that I am in. I'll mention one or two more things inshallah and we'll finish, otherwise we'll become quite lengthy. Sayyidina Qais radiallahu anhu, he says, وَكَانُوا يَرَوْنَهُ ذَلِكَ الْيُومِ الَّذِي قَالَ فِيهِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ عِنْدِي بَعْضَ أَصْحَابِي فَشَكَوْتُ إِلَيْهِ. Okay, I'll just skip this one. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentions that اشترى عثمان بن عفان من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الجنة مرتين. سيدنا عثمان رضي الله عنه purchased Jannah from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم twice. حين حفر بئر رومة وحين جهز جيش العسرة. Two times رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, oh عثمان, if you do this, Allah, I guarantee you Jannah. The first time was the بئر رومة, the well of رومة that he purchased, and the second time was in the occasion of the battle of Tabuk. Two things happened in Battle of Tabuk. One was this, that he gave 300 camels for the sake of Allah. And the second was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, does anyone have any money that they will come and donate? Sayyidina Uthman brought so many coins so many golden coins. And he put them in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking at the looking at the coins in his lap, and he was, you know, putting them between his hands, holding them. And then he said, again, he said something similar. He said, "Oh Uthman, after today you don't need to do anything else. After today you don't need to do anything else." And this was early on. So this is the status of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, a few more things to mention. I don't like making these sessions very lengthy. Next week, inshallah, we'll finish mentioning a few more virtues of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and we'll conclude with his life, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and appreciate our pious predecessors. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.